podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you that laughter is like a medicine. It's merry, it makes our hearts merry, and we thank you for the privilege of just being in your house, being able to laugh with your family. Thank you for all the good things you're doing. And Lord, thank you for this morning as we honor the fathers in this house and as we honor you. We ask that you take these words, these few minutes that we've got, and that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit, and that you would speak words of life to your people. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And I got to remember that's a step down. I better just stay up here. How about that? Fathers, being a father is one of the most rewarding and wonderful things in life. The position that we have as a father, I want to talk to you about that a little bit today. It's a position that is ordained by God. If you're not a father, if you aspire to be a father, this is a position. Our place as dads is ordained by our Father in heaven. And that's important. It's important that you know that. It's important that we understand this is not just something that man made up. This is something that God ordained. The calling to be a dad is one of the greatest privileges in life. God created man to rule his creation. He created him to tend his garden. How many of you like to garden? I like to garden. Some of y'all guys, some of you do. It's fun. It's fun. God made man with, and if you read it in Genesis and look at the things that he, in the very first chapter, very first and second chapter, God gave man things to do. He gave, but one of them was to be a dad. He created man to rule his creation. He created him to tend his garden. He created man in his image. You see, we as dads are created in the very image of God. Women were created out of us, but men were created in God's image. And so that position that we stand in today, it's ordained by our God, our Father who's in heaven. He also made us to be the leaders of our home. You were meant to lead. You say, I'm not much of a leader. Doesn't make any difference. You see, one of the things I found in my life, although I'm not really a leader in many ways, when you're in a position where someone has placed you in that position, there's a blessing and an anointing, especially in the things of God, where God gives you that ability to lead whatever He wants you to lead. You understand what I'm saying? Whether it's a household, whether it's a business, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's whatever, when God ordains it, He gives you that power, that grace to do it. And so you as dads, you say, well, I'm kind of a, you know, I don't want to step out too much. That's not the issue. God made you for that. He made you to be that way. And if God guides and God, what is that old saying? Where God guides, He provides, right? And He'll provide you the strength. Not only that, He also made us to be strong. You say, well, you know, and I used to have muscles back in the day. I had a few. He made us strong, though. He made us willing to take chances. He made us willing to do things that other people wouldn't do. He made us different. We're different than women. That's all there is to it. I love what Brother Frank Seamster said. You know, God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. And I about fell out of my chair when I heard him say that the other day. He created Adam and Eve, and men were made to be men. We were meant to stand up. We were meant to hold the banner of God to lead in our families and in our homes. That's how we were made. You know what? It's interesting to me that, you know, I've often wondered, He even made us to take chances. Now, I'm not much of a risk taker, but there are many that are. I mean, why would you step out of a perfectly good airplane with a bunch of cloth on your back, hoping just so you can feel that wind blowing in your face? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Or why would you jump off of a perfectly good bridge with a big rubber band on your leg just to see what it feels like, right? Not my idea of a good time. Jeremy, my son, was much more of a risk taker than I am. And one of the things that we did, he used to float down the Chattahoochee River. And, of course, when I float down a river, I'm looking for one or two things, where the fish are rising to the top so I can catch them, or where the holes are deep so I can fish for them. That's what I look for on a river. You know, if you're a fisherman, that's what you're doing. Well, when Jeremy comes along on the Chattahoochee River, he sees a cliff. I know, usually near a cliff is a good fishing hole, okay? That's not what he saw. He pulled over to the side. We got pictures of it after he did it. He pulls over to the side of the river, climbs to the top of the cliff, and of course, what does he do? He jumps off in the water. That's what young guys do. They take chances. God made us that way. You were born that way. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed at all. You know, I know moms, Jan and I have had this discussion. Well, I would never do that. In fact, speaking of rivers, July 20th, who knows what's going on July 20th? We're going rafting, that's right. And there's risk involved in rafting. Let me tell you, that water is flowing. There's class 1, class 2, class 3 rapids on the Nantahala. That's where we're going. You're all invited. Sign up on the website. It's a great day. It's a lot of fun. A bunch of you have been before. It's a time really to remember. And what's really nice, you get to the end, that last rapid, it's a monster. I mean, it's brutal. It really is. If you don't go down it right, guess where you end up? In fact, last time we went, I believe Terry ended up in the brink, didn't you? Didn't you? He got tossed out of his raft. Do what? Tree limb knocked him right off the raft. Yep, that's right. I forgot about that. That was fun. But it was fun for me. I was, and the water's about 45 degrees, which makes it also, it's very cold, even in the summertime. But there's risk involved. That's the way guys are built. That's who we are. You know, that's just the way it is. But you know what else? You know what else? Not only is our position, it's ordained by God. Not only is that, but it's a position of great responsibility. And I don't want you to negate that. When I was 25, our first daughter was born. Her name was Rachel. She came home from the hospital, a little bundle of joy for us. She had a head full of hair. She was beautiful to her mom and to I. She was a gorgeous little thing. And yet I stood there holding her, wondering, so I'm supposed to train her? I'm supposed to lead this little one? I'm going to be the one that she's going to, you know, the truth is, children see their fathers. That's the first demonstration they have of who God is. I mean, that's a responsibility that weighed on me heavily as a young man. I was 25. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, truthfully. But we're supposed to guide them. We're supposed to train them. We're supposed to set the tone in our homes. I mean, I'm not going to, we could find scriptures to back all these. You know what you're supposed to do, guys. Most of the men in this room that are fathers know what we're supposed to do. But it was a responsibility, and I tell you, it weighed on me a little bit. It really did. We're supposed to lead out in spiritual matters. We're supposed to, you know, one of the things that I would encourage you to do, if you want to demonstrate how God looks to your children, is for you to love your wife. Show her. Love her. Show your children how a man is to treat his wife. You open the door for her. You honor her. You love her. You help her. You serve her. I mean, that's, you know, the scriptures are clear. Ephesians says it very clearly. Husbands, love your wives. But how do you do that? As Christ loved us. There's no greater way to show your children what a father is to be than to love your wife. So I want to encourage you to do that too. So, but that position as the leader, the one beautiful thing, not only is it ordained by God, and secondly, it's a big responsibility, but there's something else. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. I wish I'd known that when I was 25. And I was trying to walk with the Lord. I was doing the best I knew how. But I wish somebody had said, hey, you have someone to help. You have your Father in heaven who when you, because the truth is, I love teachings. We had good teaching, young marriage teaching when I was a young man, and it was good. But that doesn't answer all the questions. How many of you know that? You know, your daughter, Rachel was born. She was if you had a way to rate her as a perfect child, she was absolutely a perfect 10 until she turned 13. Now at 13, she turned 13. And that's all I have to say about that. She really turned out fine. She did go through a few things in her teenage years. I remember James Dobson, one of the, after all the counseling and all the stuff, you've probably heard this, but I'll share it with you. What do you do with teenagers? What do you do with them? And his final conclusion, that with all of his scriptural knowledge, all of his counseling, all of his seeing with focus on the family, his final word, I think, was, you just get them through it. You just get them through it. And that's what you do. You just love them through it. What else can you do? What else can you do? But it's a responsibility, but it's not one we have to do alone. And there's a tremendous, tremendous rest and peace knowing that the Father will give you the direction that you need. When you have that conflict in your household, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I call Pastor Gilbert. Well, that's okay. That's okay. He'll take your call. But what do you really do? You say, Father, what do I do? How do I know? Because see, God has specific things for you, for your children. And truth, somebody else, if I may have walked through that or I may not have, but I'm not going to know what God wants for your child. But God knows. And one of his heart's desire, one of the things kids do, they will do this. I mean, at least they did this for me. They drove me to my knees. Do they do that for you? Man, oh man. What do I do, Lord? Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this girl. What do I do with her? But that's what he wants. Do you understand? That's not bad. That's what he wants. He wants you to come to him. We're singing about a good father. We're going to sing it again in a few minutes. That's what he longs for. He longs for that. So not only is it ordained by God, your position, not only is it a place of responsibility, it's also a place of great joy and blessing. It's a tremendous blessing to be a dad. I was talking with Tom the other day at lunch. I asked him what was some of the highlights of being a father. And he said one of the ones was when his little girl was tiny, excuse me, was very tiny. She came home and she wrapped her fingers around his one finger. He said, man, my heart was smitten. I was just smitten. You can imagine. You know, there's something about being a dad. Girls especially, guys are great, but girls especially have a place on a dad's heart. And you know, I want you to understand that it's a position that we are in that you have great, it's a great blessing to us. But more than that, you have the position to bless your children. You can do that in a way that no one else in the whole world. You were ordained to be the dad over your children by God. And God gives you special grace, special words for them. And so take the time to bless them. Take the time. Bless them with your time. I told earlier service, I said, you know, we did a lot of stuff together as family. And I love doing stuff with my kids. But if I had to do it over, I would have done more. I'm telling you, they grow up. Life's a vapor. You ever heard that? Life's a vapor. Well, the time you have with your kids is even less than a vapor, right? It's very short. Bless them with your time. Bless them with your words. Speak words of life. Tell your daughters. You guys, tell your daughters they're beautiful. Speak to them. Tell them that. Not just the way they look, the way they act. When they're kind, tell them. When they serve, tell them. Speak to them. They love to hear dad say something good about them. They do that. They respond to that. Their women respond when a dad does that. A young lady will respond. Tell them. Speak with your word. Tell your sons they're made in God's image. They're to be strong. Strong in their character. Have integrity. Speak to them. If one of the things I didn't do much of that when I was young, I didn't do a lot of that. I wish I had. I wish I'd spoken to mine these kinds of things. I spoke to them. I said, hey, get out there and pick those pine cones up in the yard. I spoke to them. Not exactly what I'm talking about today. You have to do some of that too. But not exactly the same. I wish I'd had a little more time. I wish I'd known. Speak to them. Don't miss the time. You know, and you say, well, what am I going to say? I know exactly what you're supposed to say to them. I know exactly. When you're on your knees that morning, Father, I just want to bless my kids today. What can I say to my kids today? I promise you he'll give you something. There'll be something that happens in your day, something the next day, the next week. Something will happen, and there'll be a window, a door of opportunity where you can speak into them. I told the earlier service, be intentional about it. I was speaking with Aronde one day, Aronde Creighton, one of our elders. This was years ago, actually. And he had a long drive from where he lived to where his girls were in school, and he took them. And he was telling me, oh yeah, I always talk to him about the things of God and this and that. And I thought, it's exactly what I'm saying. Be intentional. Speak those words. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. Guide them by obtaining direction from the Lord and then communicate it to them. Provide for our family's spiritual direction. That's one of the things. Teach them to stay the course. One thing I would say, don't give up. Don't give up on family devotions. Don't give up. Stick with it. Stay with it. It's okay. If it gets, because I know when ours were little, we tried family devotions. What happens when you have family devotions? First, phone rings first, right? And then they got to go to the bathroom, right? That's second. And then, I mean, whatever. There's something else third. You know, the dog comes in and knocks something over, whatever. They knock over their milk. There's always distractions. That's okay. That's okay. Stay with it. Show them that you love them. You see, you taking the time to do that. Now, when they're little, they don't get it all. But as they grow, they see what mom and dad value. You see, you value them. You must show that you value. You dads, you moms, show that you value your kids. And that's one of the ways you do it. I would highly encourage you, don't give up on that. Stay with it. With all that said, that's about us. I've told you before, I was 18 when my father passed away. He died of a heart attack. And so I've been an orphan since then. It was fun when I went down to Guyana last summer. I could relate to those kids. I was 62, but I was still an orphan. And you relate. But one of the things I realized from that day until this day, I never had to walk alone. You see, he's a father to the fatherless this morning. Janet reminded me, I didn't share that verse. He's a father to those that are fatherless this morning. And what I want to do for the rest of my time to share with you is not talk about us as dads, is to talk about my Father in heaven. To tell you some things that just to give you a glimpse of who he is. I would love for you to be able to see him as he really is. If you could see how good, we sing about it, but if you could just get a revelation of the goodness of our wonderful Father, then all that we ever do is worth it, because you will never ever, just like Tom's heart was smitten when that little doll grabbed his finger. I'm going to tell you what, if you get a glimpse of God, you get a glimpse of his goodness, you will be smitten and you will never be able to turn back. Let me just share a couple of things with you. Just a couple of things. One of the first acts that our Father performed was in Genesis 1 during the 6 days of creation. 3 days stand out. On the fifth day, he made fish. I'm sure glad he made fish. I got to go ahead and tell you this. We were at the beach last week. Really, it was a bad time of fishing. We even took a guide out. My brother caught a couple of nice fish. I didn't catch much at all. But the last day, stormy day, I wasn't even going to go. Kenny said, oh, yeah, let's go try one more time before he was going to leave. We go out there. I don't want to take long on this. We go out there. I mean, the storms are blowing. I'm not kidding you. I mean, the rain is coming. It's you know, you're in a boat. We have a little T-top, so we're kind of trying to stay a little bit dry. I mean, all of a sudden, the bottom opens up. Boo! Of course, my rod goes, boo! I mean, he's just running with it. I ended up at 20 minutes later with a 36-inch redfish. I should have brought the picture. It really is. It was a big redfish. I'm glad God created fish, right? So, that's how I got off on that story, right, about the fish. Sorry about that. Okay, that has nothing to do with our message. He made the fish and the birds, and he saw it was good. But in verse 22, here's what it says. Then God blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply. On the sixth day, God made animals, and he made man, and he saw it was very good. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. In verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish. On the seventh day, God rested, finished his work of creation, so he rested and he blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. You understand the first action that God did in the earth was to create, and the next action he did was to bless. And I'm telling you, that's what God is. He's a God that blesses. That word is barak. That word means, the Hebrew word is barak. It means to bless man as a benefit. It also can be reversed and to bless God. So today we're going to bless God in a few minutes, and you're going to have an opportunity to do that. But God blessed his creation. God also, not only did he bless, but he gave good gifts. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask him? The context of this verse is a context of speaking of prayer, speaking of asking the Father, speaking of not giving up. How much more will he do? Give good gifts. In Luke 11, it's the same passage, but it says, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? You see, God loves to give gifts. I'm not talking about cars, things like that. He loves to give revelation to a dad who needs some direction for his child. I was at a meeting the other day with some business leaders, Christian business leaders, and one of them told us, he was relaying the story how one of his sons had gotten in with a group of people, young people, that was, he was not good friends, let's put it that way. And they were saying, well, one spouse wanted to do nothing, the other spouse wanted to confront the child. What do you do? Do you know what to do? You can't just always, you don't ram it down their throat. I tried that for years. That doesn't work. So what do you do? Here's what you do. You say, Father, what do I do? You go to God and you ask him what you do. You come before him and you sit and wait for him. Wait for him to speak. You see, if he says, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was given to direct you. The Holy Spirit's given to give you wisdom and understanding. He's here for us. He's the counselor, the wonderful counselor, amen? He is the one. So don't ever, you as dads, don't give up on those things. Keep coming to him. Keep asking him. He not only gives gifts, he also loved us enough to give his most prized possession. John 3:16 says, the Father gave what? His beloved, his one and only. Gave his own one and only. He also won't let anyone steal us away. John 10:29, for my Father has given the sheep to me. He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand. Do you understand? If you are safe, if you've given your life to Christ, if you've given your life and bowed your knee to the God of heaven, you understand that you're safe this morning. Safe. That somebody may need to hear that. You're safe this morning. No one can snatch you. No sin, no devil, no nothing can snatch you. No one. He also welcomes us home in Luke 15. When he was a long way off, the Father saw him coming. Filled with compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Of course, that's about an earthly father, but you know as well as I know. I don't know how many of you have been in a faraway land, filthy and dirty, and you came running home. Oh, and when I came running, he was here. He was the one that put his arms around me. He was the one that embraced me. He was the one that put a ring of authority on my finger. He was the one that did that. Our Father is wonderful. He was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. He also, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. I got to make sure we go to some scriptures here, right? I read you a few, but we're going to go to this one together. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 5, he leads us in the way that is best for us in discipline. And let me read this to you. Because discipline's always something we're frightened of and scared of. Listen, have you forgotten the encouraging words that God spoke to you as his children? My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Verse 5, verse 6. Don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone as he accepts his child. He punishes each one he accepts as his child. Verse 10, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. My dad did that. He did the best he knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. You see, any father that really loves their kids, if you see a father that doesn't discipline their kids, I'm telling you, I got a problem with that. I'm sorry, I got a problem with that. Kids need it. They need it. They need it for their lives, for their futures. Just to let them go and do whatever they want. Don't let the spirit of this world deceive you. It's not right. It's not right. God loves us enough. He won't let you go. No one can snatch you out, but He won't let you go either. There's a tremendous revelation in that, if you could catch it. How great He is, that He holds on to us. He won't let anybody get us, and He won't let us go either. And I tell you what, I'd rather be in His arms than anywhere in the world. Amen. Whether I'm on the mountaintop, we heard about mountaintops not too long ago, or whether I'm in the valley, it doesn't make any difference. He's always the one that I want to be with. Amen. In John chapter 4, turn to John chapter 4 quickly, and I've got a few more little things. I don't know what time it is. So Jesus replied in verse 21 of John chapter 4, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming." This is the story of the Samaritan woman. Most of you know it. "The time is coming will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about Him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now." Say, "It's here now." It's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And then listen to this next verse, or portion. "The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way." Every father loves when his children come to him. Every father. And our Father in heaven is no different. You know, I really believe when you come and our musicians are singing, and you're singing in truth. It says worship in spirit and in truth. I really believe that pleases Him as much as anything there is. You're just coming. Not for to get something. You know, my kids used to come and ask for money. It's great. I got a T-shirt one day. It said University of Georgia, and it said Dad, and it had dollar bills on it. I'm like, okay. So that's all good. But sometimes when they just come, maybe they want to talk. I want you to know, you have a Father in heaven who wants to talk. And I would encourage you. I would exhort you. I would command you. I can't do that, really. But I want you to talk to Him. He's more than wonderful. He's more than wonderful. He's looking for those who will worship Him that way. He's looking. A few weeks back, we had Pastor Gilbert's been calling us to a more serious time of prayer. So he called some of the elders and leaders together at his home, and we had a time of prayer. And this was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And one of the things he shared that I believe he shared to the congregation, he shared about that morning before our prayer meeting, he had seen a door, like almost like a vision, seen a door. And it was not closed. It was a door. It was not open necessarily, but it was there. It was kind of cracked, I think is what it was. And I was like, he shared that with me. And when we got through praying, I said, you know, what's a door for? What do you do with a door? You go through a door, right? And about 2 or 3 weeks before that, when I was praying about this, I knew I was going to speak on Father's Day. That's been 5 or 6 weeks ago. This is what the Lord gave me for you at New City Church. And I really want to share it with you just for a moment. He said, "My heart longs for my people to pursue me, to not slow down, to lay down the things in life that distract you from your created purpose so that you can know me, to press in and seek the heart of God." And when he shared that about the door, I stood up at the end of that prayer meeting and I wasn't thinking about this at all. But I said, what's the door for? You open the door. We don't have to though. You don't have to. You don't have to talk to him. You don't have to. Now, that's not what I want for you. I can't tell you how much I want you as his people to find him, to draw near to him, to be able to see the goodness that God displays to his creation, to his people, the way he directs, the way he orchestrates our lives. We could spend the rest of our day testifying to how God has led us. I want you to, he longs for you as his people to come. I think there's a cry in his heart. I think God has us, it's because he has a greater purpose for us. It's because he has other things. You see, it's out of those times. We have young marrieds here that are with ladies that are expecting. It's out of those times of intimacy that those kids are born. It's out of our times of where we come to him that life is born. I've shared that before, but I believe that. It's not about always doing. It's about becoming who he wants us to be. Now, we have to do. There are many things to do. God will give you things to do, and that's good. But I'm not talking about that. He's calling you and I to come to him. Hebrews says it this way: it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and run with endurance the race set before us." Are they going to play music for us? Can the singers come up? Are they going to do that? If they'll come up, that'd be great. I'm close here. So Acts 20:24 says, Paul said this. He said, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus." You see, there was something in his heart, something he couldn't get away from. To think that was Paul. That was the Apostle Paul. He wrote the New Testament. It's not worth anything unless I finish this course, unless I keep coming to him to know him. He said, "That I might know him in another place, and the power of his resurrection, even the fellowship of his suffering, that I might know him." You know, David said in Psalms 27, "One thing I've asked of the Lord, one thing, just one thing, that will I seek after that." And I know I've shared these before, but it's so much in my heart to do that, how we need that. Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." He was wrestling at a critical point in his life, struggling with life, knowing that Esau and 400 men were coming at him, not knowing whether he was coming to kill him. If you read the story, I'm sure he was scared out of his wits when he heard Esau was coming with 400 guys. So what did he do? He didn't turn and run. No, no. He met with his God. And it says he struggled until the dawn of day, to the break of day. He struggled. He fought. And guys, I'm just going to say it like this. I want you to fight. I want you to fight. Not with your wives, but for your wives. I want you to fight not with your kids, but for your kids. You see, the truth is our society. I think about TV shows that I watch. There's no TV show that has a normal male image in it hardly at all anymore. They're all wimps and jerks. They just are. There's very few where there's a dad that loves, shows strength and character, shows integrity. They just don't have it. It's not on the TV. So don't get your, you know, this is the place to get your direction. This is the place. God made us this way. God gave us the book. You men can stand up and fight for him. You can do that. John 4:23, I'm going to end with it. We said it already. The time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. He's looking this morning. How about y'all stand with me this morning? What we're going to do, we're not going to have an altar call. But what we're going to do, this is Father's Day, right? I want to salute the fathers in the room. But what I want to end up with right now, as they raise the music and as you listen to this song, I want you to close your eyes and look up to heaven. And I want you to speak to your Heavenly Father. I want you to tell him, "Happy Father's Day." Tell him whatever's in your heart. You speak to him this morning. This is an opportunity for us to tell him. We've saluted our men here in the sanctuary. They all got up. We gave them an applause. I want us now to salute and honor the one who is more wonderful than any.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.